Welcome to the You Choose podcast. We're so glad you're here. Please take a moment, pause this podcast right now, and share it with someone you think would find this podcast interesting. We would really appreciate it. Please go to youchoosepodcast.com. That's the letter U, choosepodcast.com, and find the different ways that you can connect with us and how you can be part of the live event. And without further ado, let's get into the adventure you choose. We're back for more action, more You Choose action.
Listen, we can't choose. You got to choose.
Well, if you're new to the podcast, what we do on the You Choose podcast is we go through these old 80s Choose Your Own Adventure books and Choose Your Own Adventure adjacent books. And then when we get to decision point, you can chime in on the chat, type in what you want us to do, where you want us to go, and we will go there. And also any other funny bits and funny banter you want to do. That's to make this fun. It's not fun without you.
Dad jokes along the way.
Dad jokes, yes. And Eddie, the book we're doing today, I just realized this. We did Beyond Escape several, I don't know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a sequel to this one. I didn't know that.
Right. Escape.
Escape. So this one came out in 1983, and then Beyond Escape came out in 1986. So this is, I didn't know that. We did the War with Evil Power Master, and it was actually a sequel to the Ants, the Underground Kingdom, I think is what it was.
Yep.
And so, yeah. Which,
there was no hint that the Power Master was showing up in that first one. You were like, no. Oh,
not at all.
Evil Power Master? What's this?
I know.
Sure enough, he comes back, living up to his name.
Exactly.
I love this, too, because you can see the progression of the classic Choose Your Own Adventure book here, because you kind of got the frame. It's very simple.
Yes.
And it's number 8. They're not even at number 10 yet on this one.
Well, this is the reprint. This is the ChooseCo reprint that they did in, let's see here. It was in, I think, 2005. But originally,
this explains a lot.
Yeah, originally it was in 1983. So the art has been upgraded and the cover has been upgraded. And so that's why it does. I couldn't find the original. So this is the best I could find. But yes, I mean, it still gives you, I should find the original cover, but you still got planes on the cover, explosions, people jumping out of Jeeps. So
I don't see anybody with a tucked in t-shirt though.
No. Sadly, no.
Yeah, I get it. But you can't have it all sometimes.
Can't. Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, let's get started here. And I'll get started. Start us off, Eddie.
All right.
This is great. It starts just like the other one. You're one of the leaders of a spy mission operating in the country of Dorado. Again, we're 9 years old. We're in charge of a department. If you remember last time, we were sitting behind a desk with our name plaque on the front, just kicking back, trying to demoralize everybody that comes in our office.
What's really demoralizing is this kid's 10.
Yeah, and he's giving me orders.
He's bossing me around, and it's working.
It's working, exactly. You have just broken out of a maximum security prison run by the Doradian secret police. Your escape has only just begun. Now, you and your group must make it home to safety in Tertelia, there we go, which is more than 1,000 miles away over semi-desert land and vast mountains. The year is 2045. A combination of civil wars and foreign attacks has split the United States into 3 hostile political areas: Dorado, Rebellium, and Tertelia. Dorado is a repressive police state. It follows only the rule of force, not law, and has designs on the territory of its neighbors. The Doradian secret police are feared throughout the continent. Some wonderful little black and white illustrations of men with
the Doradians
no hair.
Are all bald.
Yes, they're all bald. That's the secret. You go to this country and you go bald.
You cross the border, your hair just trickles out.
Just falls out. The second region, Rebellium, occupies all territories east of the Mississippi. It is a haphazard collection of minor city-states. They are disorganized and offer no real help in the struggle with Dorado. Tertelia, which you are trying to reach is made up of the mountain states north of Arizona, as well as the northern plains states extending into Canada. The capital of Tortilla is Denver. Tortilla is a democracy run by elected representatives and governed by a panel of five. It is also your home. Your father is one of the panel of five. He was opposed when you volunteered to go on a spy mission into Dorado. But when you went away, you were sure that you and only you could get the plans for the Doradian invasion of Tortilla, and you did get them. The Doradian secret police arrested you, but fortunately they never suspected that you had learned their invasion plans. Your escape from their prison was due to luck more than good planning. Right now, you are hiding in a barn on a deserted ranch. You're about 7 miles north of what used to be called Gallup, New Mexico. Three other people are with you. The most important, except for you, of course, is a 30-year-old. I love that. We just got to get our stuff in.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the center of this here universe.
Exactly. Of course, is a 30-year-old woman who is the leader of the resistance in Dorado. Her name is Mimla. There is a large price on her head. She has to get out. With Mimla is Matt. He's in his early 30s and it is his responsibility to get her safely out of Dorado. The third person is a computer specialist named Haven, a silent, nervous man who peers at the world through thick glasses. He is needed in Tortilla to break Doradian computer codes. Your father, acting through the resistance organization in Dorado, has arranged an escape flight for the four of you. This morning, you wait for the Windmaster twin-engine motor glider to swoop out of the clouds and pick you up. All right. Man, we are a rough-looking bunch. Or I guess those are three people right there that we can stab in the back right there.
Right. Who gets it first?
Yeah. You've been waiting for several hours. The plane is now half an hour late. Matt wants to leave. I think we should get out of here and head back to town. I don't want to get caught out here, he explains. You look at the clouds, then at the desert. I don't know, you say finally. We're in a pretty good spot right here. We can see anyone coming for quite a distance. I know Bill, the pilot, he's reliable. He'll get here. I think we can wait another half hour. They're closing in on us, Matt says tensely. I can feel it. There's no sign of the secret police on the horizon, but, you know, they could appear at any moment. If you decide to follow Matt's suggestion and return to town, turn to page 10. If you decide to wait another half hour for the plane, turn to page 15. So, do we follow Matt's suggestion and go home or go to town, or do we wait another half hour? That's the two choices in front of us today.
I love it when one of the choices is, do you just wait?
Yeah, just wait. Yeah.
That's been a couple of us. Like, oh, just ignore everything. Sit down. Yeah.
Or
wait it out.
The one where you go home and think. Should I go home and think about this?
Go home and think.
So that's about the equivalent of it. Just wait a little longer. But I love how we're just bossing around old people and, you know, telling them how awesome we are. You know, you guys are pretty important, but we all know I'm kind of a big deal here.
Plus the classic illustration here of the team. It's like you have a strapping young, clearly like hero guy who's like, oh, I got this. And you have like the, you know, the lady who is like his equal in a way, like, oh man, she's got my number. And then you got the diminutive little tiny scientist guy who's like, hey man, I'm smart.
Actually, like, yeah. You know, push up his glasses. All he needs is a pocket protector and he's set.
I'm doing a you choose bet right now that during the course of this reading alone, our scientist friend here busts out with actually.
Oh,
actually,
if you want to get over these mountains, we should head this way, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yes. All right.
Should we bust out the You Choose coin, Lee?
Let's get the You Choose coin here. I got it set up. And so we will flip. We'll do heads. We go to town. Tails. We wait. So let's go ahead and do this. Heads.
Heads.
Going to town.
Going to town, boy.
Oh, yep.
Page 10.
Let's see. That would be you, Eddie.
Here we go. Maybe Matt is right. Maybe waiting for another half hour is too risky. Okay, let's get out of here, you tell him. No telling when that plane will get here. Look at those clouds. But where do we go when we get back to town, Matt? Here we go.
Yeah.
Matt gathers up two canvas sacks filled with personal belongings and several Doradan military manuals and maps that Mimla and Haven have stolen. He shoulders the packs and then looks at the clouds for a few seconds. Not much of a choice, Matt says. Back to my friend Julio's place. It's so close to the secret police headquarters that they'll never look for us there. It's on top of the police headquarters.
It's literally.
It's literally on top of the roof. This
it's a little shack on top of it.
You nod in agreement, but in the bottom of your stomach, you feel knots of fear at the very mention of the Doradan secret police. Those aren't knots of fear. Those are nuggets of chicken.
Chicken eat, nuggets.
You choose chicken nuggets when you have to escape from
the prison. The
Doradan police.
Yes. You don't want to know what's in the chicken.
Don't ask. Don't ask. Literally, you choose on that one. You'd like to be as far away from them as possible. Later that afternoon, you all wait in the living room of Julio's thick-walled adobe house. I love how it's a thick-walled adobe house.
Hmm. Has to be thick-walled.
Like, man, that's good old Matt. It's not any of these thin-walled adobe houses. This baby's thick.
These babies thick. It's not medium. This is like thick.
How many C's are on this one? Thick. This thick-walled adobe house in the middle of downtown Albuquerque.
Oh.
There you go. From the front window, you can see the stark outline of the modern glass and concrete building that is Doradan's secret police headquarters. Two armed men wearing desert camouflage uniforms stand with their feet apart, laser guns at the ready. This is 2045, man. We got laser guns.
Not messing around.
At the ready, surveying every person who passes by. Mimla sits in the far corner of the living room, listening intently to a shortwave radio. She looks up. The plane is down. The Doradans got it over Santa Fe. I hope the pilot doesn't know too much. Maybe he's dead anyway.
Ooh.
That's glass half full there, girl. Thank
you. Yeah, come on, Mimla.
Haven cringes in another corner, paler than ever. Matt clenches his fist, his tiny, nerdy fist. We have to get out, you tell them. They'll be on to us before you know it. I've got to get the Doradan invasion plans back to Denver. Anybody got any ideas? Mimla rises and walks to the center of the room. She looks at each one of you. I think we should split up. I'll go with you, she says, gazing in your direction. Okay? Matt disagrees, because he has a crush on Mimla. We've got to stick together. We can't try to get out of this town on foot. It's a long way back to Denver, Mimla remarks. If you agree to split up and leave with Mimla, turn to page 20. If you argue for staying together, turn to page 21. If we've learned anything from Scooby-Doo, when you split up, bad stuff can happen.
Now, Eddie, you remember 1983, right?
The year? Bit.
You're pretty young, but...
Heck yeah. I mean, let me think. I was six. I was all right.
If you read this and you're thinking 2045, man, that's a long time away. That's like forever.
Dude. I watched the Transformers animated movie in 1986. I was 9 years old. Loved it. And it was like, the year is 2005. And I was like, 2005? We're not even in year 2000, man. They're like, into the two. I was like, and when someone was like, hey, guys, 2005 was almost 20 years ago. I was like, nah.
It's like, yeah, exactly. When I watched that, my kids just laugh. Like, wow, 2005, huh?
I tell you what, man. So 2045. Yeah, man. In 1983, you would have been like, okay, so we're just making up fake years now,
apparently. Yeah, we're not actually going to get that far. No way. That's way too far away.
It just seemed like the year 2000 was so far away. I remember, like, yeah, as a kid in the 80s being like, 2000 is just not even a real number.
That's not going to happen. So, yeah, let us know in the chat. what you want us to do. If you want us to go to town,
split up,
or stay together.
I guess that's it.
Should I stay or should I go now? Otherwise, we will flip the coin here and let the fates decide. Yeah, I saw that year 2045. I'm like, oh man, we must have thought that was just so far flung in the future. Now it's only 21 years away. It's
20 years away. I mean, you and I'll be super old at that point. Not super. We'll be in our 60s for sure.
Yes.
I know you'll be in your 70s.
I'll be 70. I'm just turned 50. So, yikes.
I feel that. Ow. I'll be 66. I'm not that far behind you.
Get my walker out. Get my prune juice.
Oh man, I can't. I'm not ready for this.
I know.
This is how we die. This is how it
Instead
happens.
Instead of, you know, old people nowadays watch Matlock and Murder, She Wrote, Eddie will be like watching The Last Starfighter and Transformers the movie. Just put it on loop.
I'm like, my dad watches this thing over and over again. I love the Dare to Be Stupid scene. It's the best.
Yes.
He died. I died. That's how I want to go out, is Dare to Be Stupid.
You
want to
die watching Dare to Be Stupid on Transformers.
Listen, if you're watching and you're not commenting, you're missing out on half the fun of this podcast.
Yes.
Let us know what you want us to do.
Well, let's go ahead and flip around, Eddie.
I say heads, we head into town. Oh, no, we heads, let's split up. Tails, stay together.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Heads. Oh. Uh-oh. Oh. I don't have a good. I have a bad feeling about this. Yeah, so we're gonna split up. Leave with the girl.
Yep.
Page 20. Mimola's right. You say, our chances are much better if we separate. She and I will head for Santa Fe. I know a safe house there. We can meet in 2 days. Okay, Matt. I don't like it. I'm responsible for Mimola, and the four of us would be better off staying together. If there's a fight. But Mimola is firm. Yeah. We get into fight. Here we go. Matt and us are gonna get in a fight. All right.
You watch.
But Mimola is firm, and so are you. Matt finally agrees. Haven remains quiet. He looks scared. Oh man.
Don't bring me into this.
Yeah. Here, Matt, this is the location of the safe house. You show him a map of downtown Santa Fe. The safe house is just 2 blocks west of the main plaza. You all shake hands and prepare to leave. At that very moment, there's a knock at the door, a loud knock. Mimla raises her finger to her lips. Haven cringes in the corner as if he's trying to imitate a piece of furniture. Everyone looks at you. Here we go again. If you tell them to run for it through the back door of the house, turn to page 40. If you tell them to prepare to defend yourselves, here we go, Eddie. Turn there to page 29. This is the fight. All right. Ugh. Ugh. It's like, Kirk, you kick it or kiss it.
Listen, I got two things I can do in this command chair. Shoot stuff or kiss it.
That's right. Shoot something. I got to shoot something. I got to kiss something. Which one is it going to be?
You're getting the lips. You're getting the fists.
Yes. So let us know in the chat. Should we run for it? Or do we defend our territory?
If you watch Star Trek, the original series, I think it's called Space Seed is the episode where we meet Khan for the first time. Played fabulously by Ricardo Montalban.
Oh, man.
There's a fabulous beatdown scene where I'm watching this. I'm like, this is in the future? He's just fist fighting Khan in one of the shuttle bays. And at one point, he just yanks a handle off of like a console. He has essentially like a table, like a chair leg.
Uh-huh.
And like he starts just beating Khan
with the leg of a table. That's awesome.
Exactly. He fights like my grandma fights.
Dirty.
Breaks off. Dirty, man. She'll break a chair leg off. You're like, oh god.
I'm
like, this is the future. I remember as a kid I was like,
we're gonna beat people up with legs from tables.
I literally was like, what's the warp drive do? We fly faster than the speed of light. Pans over to Kirk beating a guy up with a chair.
They're giving a tour. Yeah, doing a tour for the kids.
All right, kids, here's Shuttle Bay 3. Oh, my God.
And Kirk stops briefly. Hi, kids. And this goes back
to kids. Bloodstained chair leg. Like, okay, cool. Anyway.
All right. Gerald says defend. So page 29.
Gerald's like, we're not rolling over.
No way.
We're not running.
We're defending like this little base here.
He's like, these apocalypse colors don't run. 29. Is that the page?
29. Yep. I think that's you.
You nod towards the pile of weapons Julio has hidden in his house. Julio, getting ready for the end of the world.
He is.
Matt and Mimla grab them and start to load. They're old M16s left over from the territorial wars and colonial conflicts of the 2020s. Oh, no.
What? Oh, no.
And 30s. Oh, man, it's coming.
Yeah, no, here it comes.
Mimla tosses one to you. Do you not know gun safety, Mimla? You don't load a gun and then toss it to somebody.
These are 80s rules. We don't care. We look down the barrel to see if it's loaded.
This gun safety moment brought to you by Masters of the Universe hit character, Rio Blast.
There you go.
He's like, God darn, you don't be tossing no guns at people. That's how you shoot. That's how I got my name, Rio Blast.
Blast.
Stop myself. Tossing guns.
Blast myself.
Stop my foot off. Once again, the knock reverberates through the house. Then you hear a faint voice. Amigos, mis amigos, do not be afraid. It is me, Julio. Open, please. You glance at your watch. It is almost, they said amigos. That's why I did a little bit of a voice there.
Okay.
I mean, you'll just start throwing out amigos at me. keep me on my toes. You glance at your watch. It is almost 5 o'clock. A dangerous hour, huh? For the last 3 years, you're at work. Oh gosh, it's five. This is when the biker gangs come out. For the last 3 years, the Doradan rulers have set a 5 o'clock curfew. Anyone seen on the street between 5 p.m. and 6 a.m. can be shot on sight. Doradan troopers of the elite squad patrol the city. To them, shooting people out on the streets is a game. We live in Hell Valley.
When did we get the sports almanac?
Right? Julio, use the code knock, please, you say. You haven't heard the prearranged knock yet. Three short, one long, and two short. Julio's only response is, amigos, let me in, please. Your watch reads 4:58.
Ooh.
If you open the door, turn to page 59. If you insist on the special knock, you know the knock, Julio. Don't play games.
Come on.
Turn to page 117.
Wow. It's a little intense.
We got somebody's life in our hands right now.
We literally do.
Like, listen, man, you know the knock. Why are you playing games, Julio?
I see in the future Julio's a dead man because we're going to get rid of him one way or the other.
Listen, you're getting shot now or you're getting stabbed in the back later. You pick, Julio.
You go for it, Julio.
We are not playing games down by the schoolyard. Quote a Jim Croce song.
This is for all the marbles. We're not messing around.
Timing, actually.
So let us know in the chat. Open the door. Or insist on the knock.
You don't shave and a haircut.
That's what I was just going to say. Shave and a haircut.
Hey, let him in. It's cool.
Hey, all right. Or Spaceballs. Tell us the secret code. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exactly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
If you're what number are we thinking of right now?
69, dudes.
69, dudes.
It is us. Oh, man. So let us know. Oh, Gerald says knock, knock. So that's page 107. Whew, we're going to go to the end of this book.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Oh, God. Okay. We're going to see Julio's strange foot come through the door because
guns are blazing.
Y'all got me shot.
Boom. He's like full of holes. All right. Let me get to 117.
That's how he killed Julio.
Okay. Please, Julio, you say, use the special knock. What is it you want, amigo? The special knock. You know it, Julio. Oh, pardon me. Oh, pardon me? I have forgotten it. Por favor, open. The curfew is starting. At that moment, you hear the screech of jeep wheels and the angry shouts of soldiers. There's a burst of gunfire. Then the door flies open. Julio slumps on the ground behind it. You're only slightly more lucky than your friend. The Doradian secret police have found you. You're about to find out what goes on behind the concrete walls across the street. Too bad. The end.
Too bad.
Too bad. Too bad. You're just going to be tortured to death.
Another He-Man character, by the way, in case we're wondering. Too bad.
Oh, yes.
Man, I can't believe that. We're like, we have a passcode for a reason, Julio. What are you doing?
Yeah, come on, Julio. Stay up with the times here. What's his problem?
We didn't
die, I guess. Well, not right away,
we
anyway.
We did. We got dragged to an interrogation facility.
Gulag. We'll die a slow and painful death instead of
too
a quick
bad
death.
You died in a concrete hell prison.
Yeah, yeah. Julio got the better end of the deal.
It's like Julio was a lucky one.
Julio was a lucky one. Yeah, let's see what I have.
To a book written by boomers in the 80s that's like, too bad you died in jail, kid. And I was like, man, I'm seven reading this
thing. It's just, yeah. Oh well. All right, well, let's move on here to the next book. We did one of these last time, so we're going to go through the Wizards, Warriors, and You book here. There we go. Book number one, The Forest of Twisted Dreams. Oh, man, gorgeous cover. Nice painted cover with a knight and a dragon in the background, ready to lop his head off, it looks like. So these are kind of a RPG light books.
It's like an RPG light for real. Like this is like less choose your own adventure and more like a watered down D&D experience.
Yeah, very basic D&D. This is written by R.L. Stine, Goosebumps guy.
Nice.
Huh. Okay. I knew.
Didn't he do one of the choose your own adventure books too at one point?
He did a.
Yeah, he did a
twist.
He did like a
twist of plot. I think it was a twist of plot book.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It wasn't very good.
No, it was terrible.
It was.
I was like, ooh. Stick to Goosebumps, bro.
Yeah, bro. Let's see. What year was this? I'm going to try to find it here. I think this was...
I'm looking right now.
84. Oh, wait. 84. No, that was... Book 2 was in 84, so this must have been before it. Well, anyway. At least 84, probably 83.
Yeah.
So both these books, 1983, Eddie. Huh. I didn't even plan that.
A good year, man. 83, 84. Honestly, yeah. Like people are like 80. I'm serious. Like 83 to 85 was like quintessential for me. It was like that was like some sweet spot. Maybe 86 too, because that was when Transformers the movie came out.
Yeah,
I'd say maybe up to 87 for sure. 83 to 87.
83, a good 4 years. All right. You want to go ahead and start this one, Eddie, and then page one.
I will. This is when we pick our character first, don't we?
Yeah. So they kind of give you a little backstory, and then you can decide what character you want to be.
All right, here we go. It's a tiny text. Let it be known that the terrifying tales of all that came to pass for the wizard and the warrior in the Forest of Twisted Dreams are true.
Oh no.
And that the adventure began on a brisk autumn day in the 8th year of the reign of King Henry in the courtyard of Silvergate, his castle. The wizard and the warrior were only bystanders in a long ago tournament day. Drawn by the change of lance against shield, they applauded. Sorry, clang of lances, tiny text and old eyeballs. They applauded and jeered with the others. They didn't realize their time as bystanders was drawing to a close. A strong wind came up from the north, battering the pennants above the castle courtyard, but the cheers and taunts of the crowd below drowned out the sounds of the fluttering pennants. The wizard and the warrior pushed through the crowd to get a better view of the competition. Ah! Sir Madigan screamed and fell backward off his horse. Sir Dawkins, victorious, raised his lance in the air. Sir Madigan's squire ran out to collect his fallen master. He'll be sitting up by evening, the warrior said to the wizard, a smile breaking across his usually somber face. It isn't like Sir Madigan to miss a feast. The crowd laughed at the poor squire's struggles to drag off the rotund Sir Madigan. Then King Henry stood up, and the courtyard grew silent. The tournament has ended, but our celebration has just begun, the king announced. He held up an object wrapped in a covering of precious, fur. Here for all to see is the treasure won during the three years' war, he continued. The king's voice was steady and proud, but all in attendance knew his sorrow for the men lost in that war. He spoke again. I unveil it to you now because it belongs to all of you. The magic helmet of Cornwall, believed by many to have been forged by Merlin's own hand, now belongs to the kingdom. King Henry unveiled the helmet and held it high above his head. It glowed golden in the autumn sun. The courtyard was silent. Silent, except for the distant rumble of horses' hooves. The rumble soon became a roar. What horsemen dare to interrupt our ceremony? King Henry cried angrily. But these were no ordinary horsemen who interrupted the king's ceremony on that day. They had come from the kingdom of giants, men twice the size of normal men, riding mammoth horses, carrying giant swords that could slice through an armored knight as easily as a knife cuts through a loaf of bread.
Ooh.
Stop them, Sir Dawkins cried. Did you just read the last sentence? Did you see what...
Yeah, he does. Failure to read the room.
Yeah, you didn't pay attention there. His blood still fired by his victory over Sir Madigan. Stop them before they steal the magic helmet. But few even heard his command. Seconds later, he was trampled by a giant black horse. His voice silenced. His silver lance stilled forever. Oh,
wow.
He died. King Henry's knights were prepared that day for games, not battle. They were no match for the giant marauders who grabbed the treasured helmet from the king's hands, turned their monstrous steeds, and thundered back into the direction of their kingdom. A few hours later came troubled evening. The tournament field lay dark and silent. The call of a lone falcon cut through the chill. Then was carried off by the gusting wind. The great dining hall sat empty. The feast had been canceled. Knights paced the floor of their chambers in anger, sharpening their weapons in anticipation of the battle to come. But the battle against the invading giants would not be their battle. As the tale is told, it became the battle of the wizard and the warrior. Summoned to the king's chamber, they were greeted by their saddened sovereign. No army of knights can succeed against these giants, King Henry told them in a voice that quavered with emotion. No army has ever been able to enter the kingdoms of giants. This foe can only be defeated by stealth, by cunning, and by magic. The sadness in the king's eyes turned to steel. This is your mission now, he told the wizard and the warrior. You must enter the kingdom of giants, win back the magic helmet of Cornwall, and return it to us. Excellency, said the warrior without hesitation. We will not fail you. The wizard solemnly nodded agreement. Thus the tale begins. The story now becomes your story. The mission becomes your mission. The time has come for you to choose the role you wish to play. Will you take the part of the wizard or the warrior? Make your choice now. If you choose to be the wizard, turn to page 8. If you choose to be the warrior, turn to page 10.
Okay, there's our setting. So let us know in the chat what you want us to do, wizard or warrior. Pretty simple. So we'll get to decide what we want to be. I like its little nice intro. Oh, Gerald says wizard.
So, no hesitation on that. He was like, not I even. Don't want. You kidding?
Jeez. Gerald knows what he wants. All right. Page 8, then. Here we go. Instructions for the wizard. Battling the thieves from the Kingdom of Giants will require your most astonishing and powerful magic spells. All of your years as a wizard will be tested by these inhuman foes. At the back of this book, on page 97, you will find all the magical spells your wizardry has taught you to perform. Turn now to the Book of Spells. Read them over quickly and to give you an idea of your powers, of the powers you possess. Then you will turn to page 16 to begin your treacherous journey. So, it doesn't really say, like last time we got to pick. Let me turn to page 16, but I don't think, no, okay.
This is page 97.
Yeah, I was just curious. Usually, like last time it said, pick 3 spells, but maybe we get all of them. So let's go to 97, I guess, and see.
Maybe on 97 it said something to the effect of.
As a wizard, you may use any of these powerful spells. Okay. Wow. So we get, I'll just read the title of each one. I mean, they're pretty self-explanatory. Shift shape, move time back, momentary darkness, invisibility, invisible shield, mirror image, sorcerer's sleep, the wind, Merlin's fire, visions, shrink, and combat magic. Wow. So we get 12 spells. Okay.
Dang.
Yeah, last time
we got... What's at the bottom here? Now that you have...
Yeah, it says go to page 16. So it tells us to go back. Okay, that makes sense. All right. Well, we may have to refer back to that because... If we have to use a spell, sometimes there's a limitation on them.
You know you're reading an RPG book when you got to turn back to a page to check your spells. You're
like, yes. All right, let me get my spell book out. Exactly. All right. It's dawn as you and your companion, the warrior, climb onto your horses and head towards the castle gate. Yeah. I like Gerald. We're an expert level wizard. Exactly. You're messing around.
Yeah.
Head towards the castle gate, and the sun is still low beyond the castle. A strong wind forces the horses to lower their heads and plod more slowly. You ride in silence until the castle wall is far behind you. Then you turn to the warrior. Two to conquer an army of giants, you say quietly. Will we ever see the giants? The warrior asks. You keep your eyes on the horizon. Your thoughts are not entirely on the conversation. To get to the Kingdom of Giants, we must cross through the Forest of Twisted Dreams. Here we go. Title
yeah!
Just saying the name of that place makes a chill run down your back. Is your magic equal to the evil magic of this mysterious forest, you wonder? You are well armed, you tell the warrior, trying to reassure yourself. What good are weapons against demons and sorcerers? He cries, turning to look into your eyes for the first time since you began your journey. I needn't tell you that this is a forest of nightmares. You start to reply, but suddenly your horse rears up, whinnying in terror. You grasp the reins and struggle to see what has frightened it. A shadow crosses the sky. Another. You hear the flapping of giant wings. Look, the warrior cries, trying to calm the terrified horses. The giants wanted to make sure no one followed them. You look up to see the sky filled with huge winged wolves. Okay.
Yeah!
Winged wolves. Interesting. They are flying in formation, swooping upward, then menacingly arcing downward, then up again, then down, flying lower, closer each time. The winged monsters snarl at you. Your horse rears back and throws you to the ground. Let the horses go, the warrior cries, jumping off his horse. The wolves will attack them first. Wow, we're just going to sacrifice the horses.
Do it. He's like, better the horse than me. I'm out.
Yeah. The warrior's right. Before the horses can gallop 100 yards, the pack of wolves, their wings beating furiously, swoop down and tears them apart. Your weapons are of no use against these beasts. You shout to the warrior, I will use my magic or we will never reach the forest. You must use your powers to escape from the winged wolves. Here we go. Which spell will work? Number 5, number 7, number 11. Go to the Book of Spells, read them over, and choose one. Hurry. So, do we use the Invisible Shield, the Sorcerer's Sleep, or Shrink? So, let us know in the chat. Invisible Shield, Sorcerer's Sleep, or shrink. Three choices this time. Well, it's kind of an interesting concept. The spells will kind of determine where you're going to go in the story.
Like the spell you use is your choice.
Yes, exactly.
Like I dig it.
I like that option.
Plus, like Gerald said, that's a new one. We're fighting winged wolves.
Yeah, so how do you think this, the guy that was writing R.L. Stine is like, okay, I need a monster. I don't want to create a new one. Let's just combine some stuff. Maybe he's watching Wizard of Oz install the winged monkeys, and monkeys really aren't that vicious, so let's make them wolves.
Right, and he's like, I can't just bust out dragons right out of the gate. They're going to see that coming. What do I do? Winged wolves. And it has alliteration.
I don't have to pay a copyright. They're not anywhere else.
Right.
Like I said, maybe he's watching Wizard of Oz and like, oh, that's a good idea. You got the, because he had the forest in Wizard of Oz, right?
Right.
What was the forest called in Wizard of Oz? Was it just the forest?
Wasn't it just the Enchanted Forest?
Enchanted Forest or something like that. Yeah, I think it was.
They're whipping apples at him. Oh, yes. Number three.
We don't have a number three.
Was that a choice? Oh, he meant the third choice. Spell, I think.
Okay. Spell 11, shrink.
Shrink. Go to page 32. You can't winged wolf kill what you can't see.
That makes sense.
Close your eyes and begin to cast a spell that will shrink the wolves down to the size of hornets. You wrap your robes around you as you do each time you prepare to call upon the forces of magic. You chant the incantation you know so well. You must wait for these strange winged creatures to dip down close enough. Wait for their attack. Wait for just the right moment to flash. Your spell cracks the air, shakes the ground, parts the clouds. The flap of giant wings becomes a flutter. The wolf's fearsome howl becomes a buzz. Your magic has saved us, the warrior cries. Winged wolves have swarmed back up above your heads. Stunned, they struggle back into formation. They're not giving up. They're planning another attack, the warrior cries, picking up a lance and then throwing the useless weapon to the ground in disgust. We cannot swat them all away. They will chew us to pieces, you cry. The hornet-sized wolves, their tiny fangs, poised for attack, begin to descend. They look like a small black cloud against the gray morning sky. The cloud buzzes closer, closer, and closer. Is there time to conjure another spell? There is only a 50% chance that you will be able to summon the magical forces before you are attacked. But you must try. Quick, pick a number between 1 and 10. That's hilarious. So, Gerald, without even me showing you what this is, pick a number between 1 and 10.
Yep. I'll get it off the screen here. So, yeah, he likes the art. I was like, yeah, they do have some really good art in this. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, it's crazy.
Simple black and white art. 7. Okay.
7 it is.
7 it is. So,
if you pick 7, then you got to turn to page
20.
20.
On some of these, they have you flip a coin. It's kind of cool.
That's amazing.
Page 20. All right. You close your robes and begin to summon up the invisibility spell. But the wolves attack before you can begin. They bite and claw. Their efforts are annoying at first. Oh, yeah. Let's get some fight music. As you're being torn apart, Eddie.
I know. I was fighting off wolves.
They bite and claw. Their efforts are annoying at first and then painful. You and your companion try to brush them away, but they keep coming. You try to run, but they have circled your legs and are surrounded by the biting, clawing creatures. The magic seems to have run out. The legend of the wizard and the warrior ends here. There is only one kind of magic that can save you now. The magic of closing this book, then opening it again and starting a new adventure. The end. I love it.
Salty. Oh, man.
You gotta have the fail.
Man. Run, wizard, run!
We died twice.
My name's Wizard Gump. My friends call me Wizard Gump.
I like, though, how they kind of break the fourth wall. They're like, open the book and do it again. You know, they're not.
Close the book.
Yeah, give it another try, dude. That's what we bought this book for.
These are well put together books.
They are.
Gerald saying he's sorry. No, man, don't be sorry. We just died twice tonight. Oh, man. Two for two.
Don't be sorry about nothing. I'm just glad you're here helping us out.
Yeah, this, right?
Yeah, these are, well, I agree. Out of the adjacent Choose Your Own Adventure books, I think these are some of the better ones.
I agree. The illustrations are killer. Look at this one on page 19.
Yeah, just the illustrations. Nuts. Yeah, look at that. I mean, that's classic 80s D&D type illustrations.
Yeah.
Because that's what they did. They just, to make it affordable, they just had to do black and white.
These would be fun to kind of find hard copies of.
You're right. Yeah. Let's see. Let me find who the, at the beginning, they usually list the illustrator. Let's see. Here we go. Earl Norum is the illustrator. But
yeah.
Just fantastic. I assume he did the cover too, but just
think about
awesome.
These books too, is that when you're killing it, when you're actually doing well, like the story kind of goes for a good while. I mean, we the last time we read this one, we kind of closed out the book, really.
Yeah, last time we did this, it took a long time. So, oh yeah, thanks Gerald. Yeah, the setup, it's a little long in the beginning because you have about 4 or 5 pages of setup. But then as we found out, man, you're just boom, 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 decision, decision. But you're right, Eddie. Last time we did it, we lasted a long time. Yeah. It was almost an hour.
Dude, you just never know. An hour, just this book alone.
Yeah. You just never know with these.
I'm excited to read this one again.
Yeah. Yeah. So next time we'll make we only have other choice. We were the wizard this time. We'll be the warrior next time.
Have to be the warrior next time.
Yep. That makes it easy, but I've only found 2 of these digitally. I'll have to maybe do some more research. And
I'm looking. We'll do some research to see what we can find.
There's a lot in this series. I think there was 20-some or something like that. I'll have to do a little more research. But yeah, well, that's You Choose for tonight, everybody. So thank you in the chat. That's what makes this whole show fun, is having somebody live in the chat telling us where to go and dropping funny stuff, and it's enjoyable. So, yeah. We'll do this in 2 weeks. Same bat time, same bat place, same bat books, but different stories.
Exactly.
Oh,
same tiny winged wolves.
We got to get at least one macho.
Yeah.
Got to have at least one macho man.
Got to get right. At least one in every episode.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. And until next time, you choose the adventure. Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Have a good one.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody could notice, but I'm in a different spot now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't tell a whole lot.
Yeah, Eddie's a expert mover, so if you want to talk about choices, Eddie, you can come help people move.
You choose, more like I move. It's crazy. I have my daughter pointed out, "Dad, you've moved once a year for the past 4 years." It's true on average. This is good. We have finally landed what I would say is our final destination for a while. And we're excited.
I Move You podcast. How about that?
I Move You. It's where I just critique people's packing skills on their boxes. Like, that's terrible.
Yes, that's terrible.
You put all your books in a giant box. Good luck with your back injuries.
What kind of tape are you using? Come on. This is amateur hour. Tape?
Are you packing with painter's tape? Get out of my face.
get this junk out of here. You like grab the roll of tape and throw it at him. And like, get out of here.
I can't throw it. It's stuck in my
what
hand.
Is that? The chef? The Iron Chef? Or what? He was always yelling at him and stuff. That'd be you. Like the moving podcast.
He holds 2 pieces of bread between people's head. And he's like, what are you? And people are like, I'm an idiot sandwich. That's like his thing.
Yeah.
I was like, I hold up like 2 boxes between their heads. What are you? I'm an idiot U-Haul. That's right, you are.
That's right, you are.
Get out of here.
That'd be great.
And we've moved a lot. And we're excited. This is a good spot for us, and it's going to be home base for the next several years. And so
definitely,
I'm excited to podcast out of my new podcast lair.
Yeah. Is this the first podcast at your new place?
This is the first podcast of the new Imagination Creation Station.
That's awesome. And what a coincidence that one of our books is Escape, Eddie wants to escape the movie.
Guys, get out of here. Are there U-Haul boxes in the background there? I see them. Look at
that. There you go. That's all he's dreaming about.
I qualify for employee stock at this point at U-Haul.
They're like, Eddie, just take these. You deserved it. You've earned it.
Just take it, dude.
They're like, just let you keep the truck. Just keep it.
I asked him, I go, do you guys have like a hat I could have? They're like, no.
No. Oh, dang it.